tired of hearing sugar-coated views on the news of the day? Well, I hold nothing back. Join me, Mark Levin, for The Mark Levin Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on the news and talk of West Texas, News Talk 790, KFYO.
Back on the Chad HD Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. We've been discussing the SD28 race. It's heating up, that's for sure. You have early voting continuing, and then you've got Election Day next week. So get out there and vote early. If you want to, if you are informed, get out there and vote early. Joining me right now to talk a little bit about his campaign and what's been going on. Really just in the last week or so, the back and forth in this campaign for SD28, Republican candidate for SD28, Representative Charles Perry. Representative Perry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Chad. Glad to be back.
Well,
we're currently heading down to Snyder, Roscoe, and Sweetwater, so I may lose you through the hills here. But
well, if you do, we'll give you a call back, or you can give us a call back. I would do appreciate it. I know you hit all 51 counties. During this time period, water obviously was a huge issue, I'm sure, in all of those counties. Your main opponent, Jody Arrington, has hit you on the state water plan, saying that you did not support the state water plan. That means that you would not support any future water development projects in West Texas, that you would be bad for West Texas on water. How would you respond to that?
Well, I've done a pretty good responding with the truth and the facts, and I was disappointed in that. You know, usually a guy that has no message, he can only tack the other guy's message, and I think that's where we're at. Nothing good comes out of a campaign in the last 5 days, usually. But my record's very clear. There were multiple discussions and multiple bills on the water funding plan. I served on appropriations. And the first rattle out of the box, the only plan that was made available was voting for transfer of rainy day funds to fund the water projects. And, you know, sometimes you vote no in a committee hearing just to be able to have debate on the floor. And I thought that was a big enough issue that it needed more debate. So, yes, there were a couple of no votes in order to have discussion and debate. I felt like after coming through 2011 deficit spending problems that we were in, that when we used $3 billion for a rainy day just to keep from balancing checks at the state level, that to protect the rainy day when we had other resources available to fund the water plan, and additionally, we weren't going to be able to put any money to work in the actual water on the ground kind of facility to 2015 by rule, that it didn't make sense to bust spending caps and kind of work around the system to do that. So I argued pretty diligently that I think we should fund it out of surplus and put it in the first item in the 2015 budget so that we're not busting spending caps that have served this state well from a fiscal responsibility. I lost that battle, and that's the way the process works. But at the end of the day, there were two bills that actually implemented the state water plan and the funding thereof. Number one, HB 4, actually implemented the SWIFT fund, which is what the whole water funding plan was built around, currently still in process. Currently still not ready to have money put to it. Second bill, HB 1025, was the funding mechanism, the authorization subject to voter approval in November of last year to physically move the $2 billion from the rainy day to the water implementation plan. So on the two bills and the final analysis that mattered regarding water and actual implementation of, I was a yes. I was an affirmative. I never not going to vote for water the plan, but I think it was legitimate debate on how we actually are going to use our resources as a state. The rainy day fund is something that we're fortunate to have, but you put it in the big scheme of things, $8 billion on a $200 billion biennial budget is not a big reserve. And I can tell you, when you're running a state budget on $100 a barrel oil, and it goes to 85 or 80, and it potentially can do that with the reserves we have, supply and demand kicks in, that we may look different in a state budget capacity. So I'm very cognizant of going forward with fiscal responsibility. And we had options, and I was just willing to have those debates.
Well, and I, you weren't the only one who was bringing this up, because there were many lawmakers who were taking a look at this going, okay, do we really want to go to the rainy day fund to you know, get the money out of there in order to finance some of these projects? You know, what does that lead to in the future? So,
it's precedent setting. We were literally working around spending caps. And number two, I think it indicates an inexperience of someone not having the privilege of being servant down there on two sessions, and for people to make campaign issues out of something as serious as and confuse the voters this short of time shows me that that's exactly why you need someone that's able to get through the process and understand it. But at its core, we were overriding principles that keep states' budgets whole in Texas by trying to come around the back end and fund something. We have the other ability to do it.
Well, what is your plan going forward if elected into the Senate as far as a water plan for West Texas? Because your main opponent keeps bringing up that a vote for him is a vote for water for West Texas. Well, what do you say to those who are considering, okay, the main idea that I'm going to look at, is water and what someone's going to do to bring us water?
Well, you can look at my track record and you can talk to anybody in District 83 that dealt with me on water issues. They'll tell you number one priority when I speak to them is how's your water? What's your property like? I've actually dealt with meetings regarding water on multiple levels for many district cities. And number one, some of them have undeveloped water sitting on top of it, i.e. the Dockham, Santa Rosa / Dockham, the aquifer, Ogallala. We've got some other untapped Trinity aquifers that are not real stable, but we've got to bring those to the top of the surface and begin to develop those. Number two, there are cities that literally have no undeveloped water and are at the mercy of pipelines that don't exist or pipelines to drought to reservoirs that have dried up. So we've got to get creative and start thinking in those terms. How do we bring water to those cities? And then number two, we've got to continue to have the research dollars applied to technology for ag that continues to lower the seed varieties' needs for water. We've got to continue down this road with the Prop 6 money that we did vote in November of giving municipalities the options of replacing leaky infrastructure pipes that they estimate 25% is actually lost every day just through municipal use because of old pipe structures. So those are the detailed specific plans going forward. The desalination process is phenomenal. It's happening just adjacent to my district in Big Springs. They're desalinating. Brackish water for about $4.50 a thousand, which is cheaper than we're getting it through in some of the areas in our reach up in the South Plains. So technology is available. We got to be visionary, and then we got to push because you can't wait till you need it. You got to put these things in plans over 10 years. So I'm excited about what our water opportunities look like.
Visiting with Representative Charles Perry. Before I let you go, your main opponent has hit you on a donation, on a campaign contribution that you received from Empower Texans. It might have been listed as Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, but Empower Texans, you know the organization. They're calling it a special interest group, that you're going to listen to them over the concerns of West Texas.
Well, you know, I kind of find humor in that a little bit, because if you look at my campaign report, not a single contributor on there from a PAC perspective doesn't represent district's values. So I would answer it this way. Farm Bureau is ag interest in it. Energy is energy interest in it. Fiscal responsibility, I think everybody understands and wants our government to run efficiently and as effectively as possible. So those are values that my district represents, and those are people that represent my district's values. Right to life, all of those donors. I don't take contributions from people that are not in line with my values personally or as a district. So evidently either my opponent doesn't understand what our district's values are, or he's just bitter because he's only been able to garner a couple of organizations that absolutely on the inside, if you understand what they stand for, on several levels don't represent our district values. So, you know, it goes back to my original content. If you have no message, then the only thing you do is attack the other guy's message. And I'm sad by that because we were doing pretty good in that area. I don't run campaigns that way. I try to stay on what I'm going to do, and that's the way I've got to be, and I'll move forward with that agenda that I think I have a record on, and I think people have responded favorably to.
Representative Perry, as we let you go, early voting is starting to wrap up. Only a couple days left. And we'll speak to you again on Election Day. I know we already have that set up. But give people a final pitch as they are considering going and voting early, why they need to vote for you over anyone else in this race.
Well, I think Senate cannot be a training ground. 31 members asked to do a lot of work for 26 million Texans, and to go in with two House sessions under my belt with the reputation, credibility, integrity that I've earned at the House, and also with the reputation and credit I have with individuals on both sides of the aisle in the chambers, makes me be able to go in and represent this area well from day one and effective. I won't be in a learning curve. I won't be trying to figure out where things go or how things work. I've already got that under my belt. And I think the Senate is not a place where you can have a learning curve. You've got to go in ready to go to work. And I bring that to the table with two House sessions under my belt. Under odd times, the worst budget deficit ever in the history of state in 2011, and the best budget surplus ever in 2013 with an $8 billion surplus. I've saw both ends of the spectrum, and you can't substitute that experience.
Representative Charles Perry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. We'll go ahead. We will take the break when we come back. Your thoughts on what Representative Charles Perry running in SD28 had to say.
I do not see power.
Isidro Gutierrez, Sundays at noon on KFYO.